Now we're going to read together two short passages from Luke's Gospel. First of all, from Luke 19, and then in Luke 15. One verse in Luke 19, and it's verse 10. This is coming at the end of the story about Zacchaeus. Jesus had told him ultimately, this day is salvation come to this house. Jesus adds these words, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now to Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. May the Lord bless this reading of Scripture to all our hearts and help us tonight in our understanding of it. I read that verse this evening from Luke 19 as a background to the parable that Jesus told in Luke 15. The verse in the 19th chapter, verse 10, reads, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I like to emphasize the word save. I like to testify and say that I'm saved. This is a scripture word, a New Testament word, a good word. The Bible makes it clear that you must be saved. That is something to be aware of. I don't think anybody coming into this building will be in any doubt about that. It's clear you must be saved. There were those in Jeremiah's day who said, we are not saved. And that surely is something to be alarmed about. It's a sad position to be in, to be aware, to be conscious that we're not saved. And then Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he said, you are saved. And that's something to be assured about. We're so happy this evening that so many in the congregation could testify that we're saved. The Son of Man, Dr. Luke says, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The Lord Jesus Christ is presented in Luke's Gospel as the Son of Man. And unlike Mark, Luke places a strong emphasis on the ancestry, on the birth, and on the early life of the perfect man. You know that Luke is part of a two-volume work by Dr. Luke. Acts 1 says, "The former treatise have I written of all that Jesus began to teach." Now it's very interesting how the Lord Jesus has presented to us in the Gospels a different emphasis in each of the Gospels. If I was to take a key text in each of those Gospels, Matthew, the text would be, "Behold your King." Because in that Gospel, the Lord Jesus is presented as the sovereign. In Mark's Gospel, the key verse is, "Behold my servant." Because there the Lord Jesus is presented as the servant. In John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus is presented as the Son of God. And the text would be, "Behold your God." My friends, if we're not right concerning the Lord Jesus, we're flawed all the way through. Some of you may remember, or perhaps have known, the late Colonel Allen. He was a serving officer, and travelling from Belfast to Newcastle in the Second World War by train, he was reading a tract that he found on the floor of the carriage. In those days there were single carriages, no corridors running right through. And he read about the Son of God, and he was fascinated. And then the writer of the tract went on to say that the Son of God was God the Son. Now, Colonel Allen had never, ever thought about this. He didn't know anything about it. And that day, on his journey to Newcastle, he got down on his knees in that carriage, and he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, as his Saviour. So that's John. Now, Luke, the text would be, "Behold the man." And here the Lord Jesus is presented as the Saviour. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save. The Pharisees referred to Jesus as this man. Verse 2. And Jesus replied to them by introducing this parable with these words, "What man of you?" That's interesting. Now, there's one further word by way of introduction. This morning I was speaking on the subject, the perseverance of the saints. And I explained that that term simply meant that a person who is truly saved can never be lost. You see, if salvation, and salvation is a work of God, it must be an enduring work. And further, a sovereign God cannot go back on his word. And his word we heard this morning is this: they shall not perish. That's the promise of God. I remember in the early 70s, when I was living in Bangor, we used to go every Thursday morning to the Sands home in the Hollywood Barracks in Hollywood to speak to the soldiers. They were frightened, many of them, strange, coming from Belfast and relaxing in the canteen there. And I remember having the opportunity to talk to 8 or 9 around the table about the Lord Jesus and about the way of salvation and about the reality of the forgiveness of sins. And I could see one man was fascinated. He was so really interested. I could see his eyes light up as he thought about the possibility of knowing his sins forgiven. And then suddenly a cloud came down over his countenance, and I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "What's the point in me being saved now, in knowing my sins forgiven now, He said, I'm going back. We're going back to Borneo soon. And we're going to face the same sin. We're going to face the same temptations. What's the point? What about tomorrow? And I told him, well, you've only heard half of the story. Because the one who saves us, keeps us, he gives to us his Holy Spirit to indwell us and to enable us to live for him day by day. Now, I'm not going to speak this evening again on the perseverance of the saints, but rather bring an encouraging word, I trust, concerning the perseverance of the Saviour, and perhaps focus on those words in verse 4 concerning the shepherd and the lost sheep. We read, until he find it. The perseverance of the Saviour. Now, the Saviour, in his own words, had said, he came to seek and to save the lost. And those two pursuits of the Saviour are conjoined. In other words, he never gives up. Those whom he seeks, he saves. Now, what I find fascinating about this story in Luke 15 is this. The stress that's laid upon the individual. Let me quote some of the phrases. One of them goeth after one that is lost until he find it. When he has found it, I have found my sheep that was lost. My friend, the Lord Jesus tonight is interested in you as an individual. And therefore, we're interested in you as an individual. People are not saved as families. People are not saved as communities. People are saved as individuals. When Noah's Ark was ready, and when the invitation was given, come in, Noah went in, individually went in. And his wife went in. And his sons went in, and their wives went in. They were saved as a family, but individually saved, one by one. They entered the place of refuge. The Lord Jesus is interested tonight in you as an individual. I remember going out to preach with Johnny, I'm sure, on a Saturday night in Dungannon to the open air. And just as we left the church, pushing a little chariot where we had the amplifier, we were met by a man who turned out to be a Captain May of the church army. And I remember him saying to us young people, he said, preach to reach each. Now that's interesting to see that written down. Just take a letter off each time and you get preach to reach each. So tonight, as the Lord helps me, I'm not speaking to a congregation of people. I want you to think that I'm speaking directly to you. And more, that I'm not speaking, but the Lord is speaking. And I want us to look at this story just using four words, because they tell the story. The first word is obvious, sheep. That's the first word. And in the context, it's a straying sheep. We sang that lovely hymn by Elizabeth Clefane, put to music by Ara Sankey, and we sang these words. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold, away on the mountain wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. The shepherd in the story, he looks over the flock. And he counted them. He counted up to 99. Only 99. There was one missing. You see, the good shepherd knoweth his own sheep by name. And he sees the missing sheep in his mind. And one thought grips the shepherd. One idea, as it were, possesses him. A lost sheep. And as we read through the story, we discover his concern for that lost sheep. It's interesting to note the figurative language that Jesus uses concerning sinners. He uses the word sheep, an animal that's not prepared for fighting, an animal that is the prey to lions, to wolves, or to whatever. To use the language of a cat or a dog, either would find its way home. But a sheep would stray further and further away, out on the hills, away. No homing instinct. This is the word that Jesus uses to describe the lost, and he's concerned about it. And his compassion is evident too, because you see, a straying sheep symbolizes a straying sinner. And if anyone knows, Jesus the Good Shepherd knows the sorrow that sin brings. I don't need to say anything about this, because you know perhaps all too well. A broken heart, a broken spirit. Sin brings in its wake shame and disgrace, and often remorse. The shepherd here in the story has compassion for the lost sheep, because it's one of his, he's the owner of it. We read clearly the words, having 100 sheep. This straying sheep is one of his. One of those that we talked about this morning that had been given to him by the Father. One for whom he had laid down his life. One for whom he had shed his blood. The scriptures say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, even I both search for my sheep and seek them out. He's the shepherd of it. He's the owner of it. And therefore he goes after it until he finds it. He will never have it said that he has lost one of his sheep, a straying sheep. Perhaps in the context of a Christian home. Certainly as a frequent member, perhaps a regular member of this congregation. And you too could be symbolized this evening by this lost sheep. This one sheep that has gone astray. Please understand that just one step can take you into the far country. That's really an anomaly, but it's true. One step into the far country, one step onto the disco floor, one step into the public house, one step here, one step there, and into the far country. And my friends, it takes many, many steps to return. Many steps to return. The straying sheep. Then the second word is the shepherd. And in this instant, the seeking shepherd. Let me turn again to that hymn. We sang, Lord, thou'st here the 99, are they that are enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me, and lo, the road is rough and steep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. I was interested to note that this search of the shepherd is a particular one. He has one sheep in mind. Remember, he counted over the flock. There were 99, one missing. He knew it by name. He could see it in his mind's eye. He's not content to simply find any sheep. He's not concerned to simply make up the numbers to 100. But he's looking for one. He's looking for one out of 100. I really don't know this congregation. I can't see everybody clearly in the service this evening. But maybe this evening already the Lord Jesus by his Spirit is seeking and searching for one person throughout this congregation. I remember when I was in Bangor, I used to go up to the building on a Saturday night, and I knew where this person sat, and they didn't know the Lord. And I used to sit in their seat and pray that on the Lord's day the Lord would move in their heart and bring them to repentance. And I moved over the church, sitting where I knew people, friends of mine would be sitting, who didn't know the Lord. And my friends, tonight I really believe that the Lord by his Spirit is moving here, looking for one person, maybe you, looking for that one sheep that is lost. His was a particular search and a personal search. He leaves himself the 99. He doesn't send anyone else, but rather he goes himself. You see, the Son of Man is the eternal lover of souls. He is ever and always in pursuit of souls. Sometimes they accused him of eating and drinking with sinners simply because he was seeking souls. Why the chapter opens with that line, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And sometimes we sing the words, "Christ receiveth sinful men, even me with all my sin, purged from every spot and stain. Heaven with him I'll enter in." It's natural to find a doctor in the hospital among the sick. You're not surprised to walk along the corridor and find someone, many, with the stethoscope round their neck. Not surprising to see nurses in uniform in the hospital. That's where the sick are. Is it surprising to find a shepherd among the lost sheep? His search was a particular one, and a personal one, and by inference a painful one, because as he sought over crag and glen, it involved sweat, it involved toil, it involved pain over chasm and crag. The only pain the shepherd knew was the thought of the lost sheep. We'll never understand how much it cost the Saviour to bear away sin on the cross. The rejection he experienced, the pain he suffered, the humiliation and the shame of the cross, that men and women might be saved, that young people might be forgiven. Particular one, personal one, painful one, but thank God a successful one. He sought until he found it. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through. He found his sheep that was lost out in the mountain, out in the desert. He heard the cry, sick and helpless, ready to die. He found it. The seeking shepherd found it. And he carried it home. I think perhaps I told you a number of years ago a story from the Highlands of Scotland, where the only girl in a family left home and went down to Glasgow to seek a living and to live the life Her mother was heartbroken. She never locked the door. And night after night, she listened. One after another of her children came in. But the door was never locked. And then one night, in the middle of the night, she heard the door opening. She said, "Janet, is that you?" And her daughter said, "Mum, it's me." Her mother said, "Lock the door. They're all in now." The seeking shepherd, he sought the straying sheep until he found it. And he carried it home. They were all in then. Third word, the sheep, the shepherd. And let's give some more thought to the search. And we know by now in the story it was a successful search. You see, the search came to a climax when we read, when he found it. Found it. We're not told where he found it. It might have been caught in a bush. It might have fallen into a ravine. We're not told where he found it. But seeking all through the night, he found it. And now the saving. He lifted it. And he laid it on his shoulders. He raised that straying sheep, that fallen sheep, to the place where it had been. And at last the search was over. The shepherd had found the lost one. And finding it, he immediately lifts it from the briar and from the crag or from the rock. And he saved it. And listen, that's the testimony of God's people tonight. I remember so well in the tent in Cunningham's Lane in Dungannon when I was a teenager in 1948. When God in his mercy found me sitting in the second seat from the back in a gospel tent. In his mercy he saved me. That night I realized, as Jimmy Armstrong was speaking, that Jesus had died for sinners. And I reasoned, he died for sinners. And I'm a sinner. Therefore, he must have died for me. And that night he found me. And he saved me. And so in a sense we could say, when the shepherd lifted the sheep, he claimed it as his own. And now the sheep rests as the shepherd toils. And the whole weight of the sheep was on the shepherd. Then as now, the shepherd was the burden bearer. He bore the sheep on his shoulders. The one who bears the world, the government of the world on one shoulder, bore that sheep on his shoulders and carried it home. My friends, the one who carried the sheep, who bore the sheep, became the sin bearer on the cross. And today would be the burden bearer for his people. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. We read he carried them all the days of old. The fourth word is the song. Listen to this subsequent song at the end of the book. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. All through the mountains wild, their thunders riven, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a cry to the gates of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed around the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Tired, torn, stained and troubled, but rejoicing, why? I found my sheep that was lost. The Lord Jesus was ever in pursuit of souls. Almost as soon as he entered any town or any village, we find that he was in the midst of sinners, usually notorious sinners. We see him now with Zacchaeus, and then with Levi, now with Mary Magdalene, then with a woman who was a sinner. He who was and is the Son of God, dwelling in the bosom of the Father, and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, became the Son of Man. Behold the man! In order that he might redeem the lost, the Son of the Highest became the Son of Man. He who was born of a virgin and by birth inherited all the innocent infirmities of human nature. And then he took the burden of sin and its penalty. He died on the cross. He could not be the shepherd of men without becoming like them. And my friends, tonight, as the God-man, he still seeks and saves. Tonight the Son of Man has come. I like sometimes to read in Ruth, the story of Ruth in second chapter, concerning her Redeemer. We read these lovely words, and Boaz came. Boaz came. Came to redeem. He had the right to redeem, the resources to redeem. He had the readiness to redeem. Tonight Jesus came. He came to seek and to save. Thank God he's still saving. I was listening today of men and women in another country, in another culture, coming one by one to Jesus for salvation. We may not see many being saved in our meetings. I don't know about Lisburn. But he's still saving. And he saves to the uttermost. Listen, he can save to the uttermost and guttermost all those who come unto God by him. Will you come tonight? That there might be rejoicing in heaven over one in Lisburn Baptist Church who has repented, turned away from their sin to faith in our Lord Jesus. That there might be rejoicing in heaven, even as this meeting closes, over one who was dead and who has life in Christ. Until he find it, may that encourage you as a parent. May that encourage you as a church fellowship. May that encourage you as the person that Jesus is seeking tonight. You go on seeking until he finds it. And be sure of this, when he has found you, he'll bring you home.